If you will, be turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, this will be the location of our first reading this evening. As mentioned earlier, I'd like to say that we appreciate your presence. Those that are visiting with us, we're thankful for your presence. This evening, we're going to be spending quite a bit of time in Scripture, so I would ask you to be prepared for that, to follow along with me as we study together. The few thoughts that I have are going to be centered around the end of time, the last days. I'm going to take passages from the Scriptures. We're going to look at what's going to take place during those times. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, it reads, "And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after He had said these things, He was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was departing, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Through the Old Testament, the prophets of old spoke of this promise to Abraham and to this seed that was going to come and be a Savior to the world. That man came. That man was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came to this earth, he spread his gospel, he taught the people, and when he was crucified, buried, and was raised the third day, he stayed on earth approximately 30, 35 days, and his job was done. He was taken up into heaven before his disciples. These disciples spent many more years spreading that word. But in that spreading of the word, one story rings out, and that is, time is coming. We're all going to answer to God. So this evening, I want to talk through a few questions. I want to go through some questions and talk about the things that's going to be taking place. We just read in this reading about how Jesus is that's told that he's going to return. Let's look at Revelation chapter 1. The two men in white told the disciples there that just as you saw him go, that's the way he'll return. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 and 8, it says, "I am," verse 7, "behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Jesus was taken up in a cloud. He's going to return the same way he was taken up, in a cloud. And then in verse 7 we see that every eye will see him when he returns. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, begin reading in verse 24. "For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. If therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go forth. Or, behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's coming in the clouds. Everyone will see Him coming. Just like the lightning flashes in the east is seen in the west, everyone will see the coming of our Lord. Turn with me now to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 24. It reads, "But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then He will send forth the angels and will gather together His elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven." Not only is He coming in the clouds and everyone's going to see Him, but He's going to be coming with great power and glory. Our Lord and Savior is coming back. We've been promised that. We've been told that. But when? When is He coming? At what point in time will He come back to this earth? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not sons of night, nor sons of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober." How did it say the Lord was coming? Like a thief. Unexpected. We don't know. Mark chapter 13. We'll read a couple passages here that kind of tell the same story in regards to this coming, the time of this coming. Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 31. It says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed and keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. It is like a man away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert." Be ready. We don't know when it's going to happen. Matthew chapter 24. Very similar reading. Matthew 24 verses 35 through 44. starts off the same way. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. Mirror passage to what we just read in Mark. Verse 37. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah erected the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there shall be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you be ready too, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Christ is coming back at a time we have no idea. The only person, the only being that has any idea of the time is God the Father. Jesus Christ Himself doesn't even know, nor the angels in heaven, when that day and when that hour will take place. What's going to happen when Jesus comes back to the earth? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. We don't know when Christ is coming, but we do know that when He does come, we're going to be changed. This imperishable body is going away. This body is going to be done away. We're going to have something that's imperishable. It will not fade. We're going to take on a spiritual body. So we're going to all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That's pretty fast. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Turn with me there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning of verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. What a scene that's going to be. The trumpet will sound, the dead will raise, and those of us, if it happens in our lifetime or our children, grandchildren, whenever it happens, those that are alive on the earth will be caught up in the sky to be with the Lord. That's what's going to happen when our Lord returns. Turn with me now to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. But the present heaven and earth by His word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to His promise, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now this passage, to me, it sends cold chills down me to think about this. On that day, when the trumpet sounds and the angels descend, what we see here today, this earth, will be no more. God destroyed it once by flood. And He promised man that it would never be destroyed again by water. The earth is now to be destroyed by fire. So when Jesus comes, and judgment day comes for us, those that are still on this earth that will rise to meet Him in the air, the elements will melt with intense heat. And He sums it up, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought us to be in holy conduct and godliness, knowing that that day is coming, knowing that we're destined for that day? That's what's going to happen when Jesus returns. And His return is going to mean judgment for us. It means our time to stand before the Lord. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment." We're destined for this judgment. It's going to come to each and every one of us. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The conclusion when all has been heard is, "Fear God and keep His commandments," because this applies to every person, everyone. "For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." Judgment day is coming for each one of us. Whether we're still alive on this earth when that time comes, or whether we're dead and passed on, judgment day will be here for each and every one of us. So let's talk a little bit about this judgment day. Who's going to judge us? What are we going to be judged based on? Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 44 through 50. Let's listen closely as we read this together. "And Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in Me does not believe in Me, but in Him who sent Me. And he who beholds Me beholds the One who sent Me. I have come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in Me may not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears My sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. So what are we going to be judged on? We're going to be judged on the Word, spoken by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The words of His gospel is what will be our judge. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 19 through 30. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself is doing, and greater works than these will He show Him that you may marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom He wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear shall live. For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself. Verse 27. And He gave Him authority to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." We're going to be judged based upon the Word that was spoken by Jesus Christ. We're also going to be judged by Jesus Christ Himself. The Son of God is going to be our judge. The Father give Him all rights to judgment on us. Just like it said earlier, when Christ comes, everyone will see Him, even the ones that pierced Him. Even the ones that crucified Him will see Him coming. And those men that crucified Christ will bow down on their knees and give praise, honor, and glory to Him. Turn with me now to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. Revelation of John, and it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every one of them according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The Word of God, the Word of Jesus Christ, will be our judge. If our names aren't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we won't make it to heaven. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 25. One more passage on this judgment day that's coming for us all. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. It reads, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the King will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.' Then He will also say to those on His left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they themselves also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then He will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Jesus Christ will judge us. He's going to sit on His glorious throne. We're going to be judged based upon the things written in the words that He spoke. We don't know when that day's coming. We don't know when that day will take place. We just know we have to be ready. We have to be prepared. Hebrews chapter 10. Very powerful passage, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 26. "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment." Just note those words. "But a certain terrifying expectation of judgment, and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying or fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We need to be living our lives right. We need to be living our lives based upon God's Word. We need to be living our lives every day prepared for this great judgment day that's coming. Revelation 21, I appreciate Gable reading this final passage of the lesson this evening. Point from lesson from the 21st chapter of Revelations. We've already talked about the books that will be opened during judgment. It says, and I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple, and the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamps is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it, and in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying, shall ever come into it. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We need to make sure our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're not a Christian, if you have never given your life to Christ, your name is not there. You must give yourself to Christ. Become His child. Be baptized in water to have the forgiveness of your sins and come in contact with His shed blood. And then we must strive after that point to live every day to be prepared for this judgment day. Because it's coming. We don't know when, but we know it's coming because God told us it was. If you're living in sin, you are trampling underfoot the sacrifice Jesus Christ made for us. We must turn away from all sin because that's going to keep us separated from our God. And when judgment day comes, that sin will be made known. You may have a secret sin now, but it will not be secret. Because in Ecclesiastes it says, all hidden things will be brought out before God in the judgment. So if there's anyone this evening that's subject to the invitation of our Lord, I bid you to come as we all stand and sing together.